Thank you, Madam Speaker. I rise today in strong support of H.R. 1947, the Federal Agricultural Reform and Risk Management Act of 2013. This bipartisan bill is 4 years in the making, and I could not have had a better partner than my friend from Minnesota, Mr. Peterson. He began this process 4 years ago when he led us into the countryside to have 8 field hearings across this great nation. We followed up those field hearings with a series of 11 audit hearings on every single policy under the jurisdiction of the House Committee on Agriculture. In all, we held 40 hearings on every aspect of this farm bill. The result is legislation that calls for reduced spending, smaller government, and common sense reform. The committee has held 2 markups of this essential bill, the first last Congress and one last month. Both of those markups lasted for more than 12 hours each. We considered over 200 amendments in total. In the end, we achieved a large bipartisan margin of support. The vote tally this year was 36-10, with 23 out of 25 Republicans and 13 out of 21 Democrats supporting it. Some of my colleagues were amazed by the duration of the markup, but I came to Congress to legislate. And an important part of the legislative process is an open and fair debate. The Speaker shares that sentiment, and I hope during the debate of the amendments to the Farm Act, we'll let the body work its will. Then we'll vote for final passage. The Farm Act is different for many reasons. There is a reason that we put reform in the title. This is the most reform-minded bill in decades. It repeals outdated policies while reforming, streamlining, and consolidating over 100 government programs. It reforms the SNAP Act, also known as the food stamp program, for the first time since the welfare reforms of 1996, and it makes tremendous reforms to the farm programs. The Agriculture Committee and the agriculture community have voluntarily worked together to make these reforms and to contribute to deficit reduction. Every part of this bill is a part of the solution to Washington's spending problems. We saved the American taxpayer nearly $40 billion, which is almost 7 times the amount of cuts to these programs under sequestration. Regarding reforms to traditional farm programs, first of all, we eliminate direct payments. They cost taxpayers $5 billion a year. They were payments that people received every year, regardless of the market conditions and whether or not they farmed. Instead, we take a more market-oriented approach to policy, where there is no support when market prices are high. We encourage responsible risk management, where farmers are able to plan for catastrophic events. In addition to eliminating direct payments, we repeal the Acre Act, the disaster program for crops, and the countercyclical program. My philosophy from the beginning of the Farm Bill process has been that these programs had to be based on market economies. They had to work for all crops in all regions of the country. Our bill achieves this while also saving $23 billion, which is a record 36% spending reduction. And conservation, a subject near and dear to my heart, we streamlined the delivery of these incredibly important programs. During our hearings, we learned that conservation programs had grown in number and in complication, often acting as a deterrent for the adoption of these voluntary, incentive-based programs. Therefore, the Farm Act eliminates and consolidates 23 duplicative and overlapping programs into 13, which saves nearly $7 billion. We authorize and strengthen and fully pay for livestock disaster assistance that is incredibly important to our livestock producers during devastating droughts, such as the ones we are experiencing recently. The bill invests in core specialty crop initiatives like the specialty block grants, plant pest and disease management and prevention programs, and the Farm Act also maintains our investment in agricultural research. You know, my friends, I've had a lot of my colleagues ask me, Frank, why do you get so excited about these issues? Why do you get so stirred up? You're usually a pretty calm, laid-back fella. Well, let me tell you, I come from a part of the country that was the abyss of the Great Depression and the drought of the 1930s. Some of you may have seen Mr. Burns' documentary about the Dust Bowl. Those are my constituents. Those were my relatives in Roger Mills County as well as the Panhandle. I was raised by a generation, my grandparents, who were young men and women during the Great Depression, who lived through that drought. They were scarred forever. My maternal grandfather co-signed my first farm lease, co-signed my note at the bank so that I could start farming. But he was convinced till the day he died, just as my other grandfather was, the Great Depression was coming back. It was coming back. Now, my parents were young men and women in the 50s, and they went through the drought of the 50s, far worse than the drought of the 30s. To the day he died, my father was convinced that it would never rain again. And I came home from college in 1982 just in time to observe the collapse in agricultural land prices. I was raised by the generation that suffered through the 30s and the 50s. I came home to watch the Vietnam generation be destroyed by things beyond of farmers, be destroyed by things beyond their control in the early 1980s. That's why I get so worked up on this policy. The misery of the 30s, the misery of the 80s, economically, was not an accident. It was policy mistakes in the 20s and 30s that led to that agony. It was policy mistakes in the 70s and 80s that led to that agony. Now you say, Frank, you're excited, you're getting worked up. Look at the 1930 census for Roger Mills County. There were 14,000 people living in my home county. By the 1940 census, there were 7,000 people living in my home county. And we've just now made it back to the mid-3,000s. You don't have that kind of economic devastation, depopulation, suffering by accident. And that's why I'm here. That's why I'm working with my colleague, the ranking member, Mr. Peterson. That's why I've worked with Republicans, Democrats alike, for years now to get to this point. That's why I want to work with all of you. I cannot make it rain. There may be people in this town who say they can make it rain, but I cannot make it rain. But in my 10 years as chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, I can make sure we pass a comprehensive farm bill that does not repeat the mistakes of the 1920s and 30s, does not repeat the mistakes of the 1970s and 80s. I will not be a part of inflicting on future generations what was inflicted on what I call that generation of Vietnam veterans who came home to farm and instead went to the bankruptcy auctions, or my grandparents' generation, whose young men and women were wiped out in the 1930s. I will not be a part of that. So I will work with all of you to try and improve this draft that attempts to produce a safety net that is workable, that is efficient, both for rural America and producers, but also for consumers. I ask you to work with me in that regard. I ask you to do the right thing. I ask you to avoid the mistakes of the past. I ask you to look at the language, to study the language, and be good, responsible legislators.